The following audio is from Harvest Fellowship. For more information about Harvest Fellowship, visit harvestabq.org.
I have two life groups. We had so many life groups to talk about that I want to tell you about two more because it was just a lot for one person to talk about. But we have two more that are more like interest-based. So one of them is kicking off. It's going to be on Wednesday nights. It kicks off on the 27th, and it's a cooking life group, and Kendra Russell is leading that. It'll be here at the church in our giant kitchen in the back, and you can talk to Kendra, go on the app, all the stuff Tyler said. A lot of you have done that group before. It's usually one of our biggest groups. I like to stop by because, you know, the food needs tasting, and, you know, and so anyway, that's a fun one. And then there's a group that's been kind of under the radar for a while, so we're going to bring it to your attention. I don't know if you like watching football or not. I heard some people in the hallway, you know, teasing each other this morning because, you know, Michael's wearing a Cowboys jersey, so Tom was giving a hard time about that. But there's a football life group that's happening, and this right now it's happening on Thursday nights. And so, literally, if you want to watch football with people from Harvest, that's what it's about. It's just doing life together because we don't do life alone here. So you can find all of that on the Church Center app, and you're going to be hearing more about. There's so many fun groups that are happening right now, and more that are just around the corner. It's just going to be awesome. So are you ready for the word this morning? All right, we're in a series right now called Come Near. It's based out of our theme verse for 2021, and we're going to put the verse on the screen, and I'm going to have you, it's short, you probably have it memorized at this point, but I'm going to have you say it with me, and why don't you say it with some passion this morning, all right? I heard you singing, you're awake, you're ready, so let's say this with some passion this morning. James 4:8, on the count of three, one, two, three. Come near to God, and He will come near to you. Good job. You did awesome this morning. This is our theme verse for the year, and we're spending the next little bit talking about this idea of coming near to God. By the way, I have a gift for you this morning. A couple of weeks ago, I was just praying and kind of preparing for this series, and I just felt like the Lord put something in my heart. I've got something for you. So our hospitality team is going to help me right now. By the way, would you give them a hand? They do awesome every week, every single week. So they're going to start passing these out. What I have for you this morning is a journal, and it's got our Come Near title on there, and it's got our Harvest logo on there. We've got one for everybody. If you're a guest today and you want one of these, we'll give you one there, you know, if you want one of these. And here's the idea. I kind of have two challenges for you. I believe that as we, this is what the verse promised us, right? Come near to God, and He says, I'll come near to you. So during this series, as you're intentionally pressing in and coming near to God, I want you to do two things. Number one, I want you to use this, and you can start today. I want you to use this to take notes as we're working through this series, so you can go back during the week and look at it and go, you know, what verse was that? And you can read that. And maybe I mentioned one verse. You can read the whole chapter. You know, just that'll help you dig in a little bit. And here's the other thing, and I might be a little more excited even about this one, is that I believe as you're coming close to God that you're going to begin to hear His voice in just a really, like, I think this is going to be a sweet season for us, and we're going to hear the voice of God. And as you do, I want you to write it down. I want you to, you know, it might be a Wednesday or a Friday or a Monday, whatever day, as you hear God's voice and He's talking to you, just write that down. When I do that, I like to date it so I can go back and see, oh yeah, I remember in this month and this, I remember God spoke to me about this. And so I just wanted to give you something that would help you, because I don't know if you're expectant like I am or not, but I'm expectant of what God's going to do in this season. Is anyone else expectant with me? Come near to God, and He will come near to you. Today we're talking about God's presence. God's presence. Let me start with this statement. The intended dwelling place for God's presence is His people. Do you believe that? The intended dwelling place for the presence of God is you and I. It's His people. You and I, we all have a place that we call home. And I think you'd probably agree with me. There's no place like home, right? I mean, there's just no place like your home. Like, you've got your, you know where your coffee mugs are, and you've got your bed. There's not a bed, another bed, like your bed, and you know where all the things are, and it's just comfortable. Like that's your place, that's your home. And I was thinking about this week, like, how incredible is it that, like, where God most wants to be, where He most wants His presence to dwell, is inside of you and me. Like when He's with us, he thinks like you and I think when we're at home. He goes, there's no place like home. Like, this is where I so want to be. We see this in the book of Genesis and Adam and Eve. I mean, just picture this. They're in this gorgeous garden, the Garden of Eden, and every single day, God would come and He would hang out with them. Hey, let's walk through the garden. They'd walk through the garden. Of course, Adam and Eve were naming the animals, and I can just imagine God, like a tiger runs by, goes, hey, Adam, remind me again, not like you need a reminder, but remind me again, what did you name that tiger? Adam, that is such a good name. How did you come up with that? Like, they're just hanging out, right? They're just, you know, and then Adam's like, God, can I ask you a question? He's like, yeah. He goes, why did you make the cat? I mean, I can't figure that one out, you know? And they're just hanging out, right? In the garden, they're just walking and they're talking and they're just spending time together. And I'll just tell you, about 2 weeks ago, I dropped the girls off at school and I kind of been in this little routine where after I drop them off, I've got a place where I go and I just go for a walk and just I've been intentionally just like spending time with the Lord. And I told Lisa I'd come home from this because it was. Like, I mean, I'm telling you, when these moments happen, you just kind of like, wow, I gotta take every moment of this that I can. But it was like when I got out of my truck and I started for my walk, it's like Jesus just kind of came up beside me and was like, hey, I'm gonna go with you today. And it was so sweet. I could just hear His voice like so clearly. I had my phone out and I'm just writing things down. It was like the Lord was just downloading things to me. And I have a route that I go. And when I got to the end of the route, I was like, I don't want this to end. And so I just kept going. I'm like, all right, Jesus, if you'll go with me, I'll go farther. And so I like doubled my walk that day. And I just, the whole time, it was just so sweet, so special. That's actually when I felt like I should get you some journals, because I think you're going to have some moments like that where you're just going to hear His voice so, so clearly. This is what Adam and Eve had in the garden. And if you know the story, and I'm sure you do, it didn't last long for them. If you know the story, Adam and Eve gave in to their desires and they sinned. And when Adam and Eve sinned, the biggest consequence is that it created separation between them and God. That nearness that they felt, right? That nearness that they had on a regular basis. All of a sudden, there was a separation. And you just need to know that that's still what happens today. When you and I give in to our desires and we sin, it creates a separation between us and the presence of God. Because, I'll say it this way, because of sin, we have a presence problem in the world. Because of sin, it creates this separation. There's a presence problem, but I have really good news for you today. It doesn't have to stay that way. Do you believe that? God's presence, He wants to be with you. He wants to be close to you. He wants to talk with you. He wants relationship with you. So as we're starting today, I'm going to ask you to do something we do every week, and we're just going to pause right now, and we're going to pray. We do a little 30-second prayer, and here's the point of this prayer, is that I'm asking you, will you position your heart today to hear from God? Because I believe as we open His Word, it says it's living and it's active. I believe God's Word has something for every single one of us today, but here's the deal, you might miss it if you're not tuned in, right? This is kind of like I'm tuning in, right? I'm paying attention. I'm getting focused right now, and I want to hear the voice of God. Does anyone want to hear the voice of God today? All right, so let's just pray right now. Father, we just pause and we open our hearts. We ask You to speak to us today. Here and now, through Your Word, will You help us today to hear Your voice And it's in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Talking about the presence of God. And men especially, if you'll pay attention right here, I'm going to help you, okay? Because I want to talk for just a second about communication. In communication, body language matters. Did you know this? Body language matters. It's not just what we say, but it's actually how we say it. In fact, experts tell us, this is kind of mind-blowing to me, that the words we use only represent 7% of the communicated message. Isn't that crazy? The words we use only represent 7%. So what's the rest of it? Well, I'll tell you, 38% is in the tone that we use, and the remaining 55%, so just over half of the communication happens because of our body language. Doesn't this explain why there's so much misunderstood on social media, right? You type a message there, and you can't hear the tone. You can't see the body language. And so, you know, Facebook knew this, and whoever creates emojis knew this. And so they created emojis, and they've created. But still, it's not the same as being able to hear the tone and see the body language, because body language is a big deal. I had a friend that I worked with for a number of years, and he had this habit. I don't know, some of you might have this habit as well, but it seemed like every time he texted me, he would use capital letters and a whole lot of exclamation points. Does anyone else have a friend like that? And he'd be like, you know, like, hey, let's go to lunch. I want a cheeseburger. All capitals, 8 exclamation. And I'm like, why are you so angry about cheeseburgers? You know? And so he'd text me sometimes like, hey, tomorrow morning, I need to talk to you. And I'm like, that's how I interpreted it. And so I'd come in, you know, the next morning, like, oh, we work together. I'm like, he's going to fire me. We're done. Like, you know, I'm kind of like, hey, Jeff, everything okay? He's like, yeah. I'm like, you just seem so angry when you text me. I'm not angry. I'm like, dude, you can't do that. You can't use capital letters and exclamation points. You know, like I just, I in my mind, as he's texting, he's like, burr, 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 like, you know, mad thumb texting and like angry. And like, I couldn't see his body language. So my brain kind of made it up. Have you had that experience? I'm just, body language matters. And the reason I'm talking to you about it is in today's scripture, we're going to look at the body language of a guy named Moses. And I'm setting you up because as I read through this passage, I want you to pay attention to the body language, because here's what I think you'll see, is that Moses' body language communicates to God that he wanted his presence. It's not just, again, it's not just the words that he uses, because words are just a little bit, 7%, but it's also the tone and the body language. And as I read this familiar to me story, I saw some body language that I think you and I can learn from. Exodus chapter 3 is where we are this morning, starting in verse 1. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called out to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near. Take off your sandals off of your feet, for the place on which you're standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. There's a metaphor that we see in this passage that's often used throughout the Bible to represent God's presence, and it's the metaphor of fire. Moses sees, he's walking along in the desert, and he sees that this bush is on fire, but it's not being consumed. That was the unusual part. It was like, what's happening here? Why is this happening? And watch this. Moses made a decision in that moment to come near. Like, he saw something, and there's this metaphor of fire here that Moses would have been aware of for the presence of God. And he says, you know what? I'm going to come near in this moment. 2 weeks ago, we talked about Elijah, and you might remember the story. But for Elijah, he's on the mountain, and God says, get ready, I'm going to pass by. And he says, you know, there was a fire, but God wasn't in the fire, right? And there was an earthquake. He wasn't in the earthquake. There was wind, but he wasn't in the wind. And then all of a sudden, there's a whisper. Do you remember this? And Elijah heard the whisper of God as he leaned in. But throughout the scripture, this fire, it's a metaphor for the presence of God. Think about fire for a moment. I don't know if you like to go camping or maybe you have a fire pit in your backyard to roast marshmallows over or something. But our family, we like fire. Think about fire. Think about all the things that it promotes, right? And when you gather around a fire, it warms you, right? I mean, that's like the colder it is, the closer you get. It's like, I need to feel the heat from the fire. I need to warm, you know, sometimes maybe I'll kick my shoes off. I put my feet up, you know, to warm. I want to feel that. Fire can purify. Fire can draw people around, right? Fire illuminates, right? If you're in the dark and you light a fire, now all of a sudden you can see. Fire can bring protection and comfort. It's no wonder that Moses, when he sees this, he says, you know what, I want to get closer and I want to see what's going on. And pay attention again to his body language. Watch what happens. I'll just read it for you again. Moses sees the fire and it says this, I will turn aside to see this great sight. I don't know if you're seeing the body language, right? He doesn't just notice that it's happening and just say from afar, like, wow, that's cool. There's a fire and the bush is not being consumed. No, he says, you know what? There's something over there. And he physically turns his whole body. He's like, I'm going to turn aside. I was headed in this direction, but there's something going on and I need to go see what's happening. And he begins to make his way. And then it says this, watch this. When the Lord saw that he turned aside, God called to him. Here's what this tells me, is that God is watching our body language. God's, think about it. He's paying attention to our body language. It's one thing to use your mouth to say something, right? But it's another thing to back that up with your actions. That's part of what the body language does, is it backs up the words that you're saying. And I'll just say this, there's a lot of Christians who know the right things to say, but their body language doesn't line up with the words that they're saying. It's like they're it's an incongruent message. And there's more body language in this story if you keep reading, because God says to Moses, he says, hey, take off the sandals on your feet, because this place where you're standing is holy ground. And in that moment, you see, Moses begins to hide his face, right? Because he realizes this is a holy moment. There's something special happening here. Like he takes his sandals off and he's lowering himself. He's hiding his face and he's getting in the presence of God. And here's kind of the big idea today. Here's what I think we learned from the body language of Moses, is this idea that posture promotes presence. That's what I want you to get today, is that the right posture that you and I have in our spiritual lives can promote the presence of God. Just think about it this way. There are things that you and I can do that will promote certain atmospheres, certain behaviors, certain actions, right? Like husbands, you can promote love in your marriage by not just the things that you say, but also in how you say them and your actions, right? You don't just walk in, you know, and go, hey, baby, I love you, right? Like there's more to it. Can I get an amen, ladies? I mean, you know, like we know you've been working hard all day, but you don't just walk in, like flex your muscles and be like, hey, and she's gonna swoon, right? Like there's a little more to it, right? You can, I'm just trying to help you today. We're talking about the presence of God, but I'm trying to help you in your marriage too, okay? You can promote certain things in your relationships by the actions of your life, by your body language, right? I'll just give you an example. I'm so excited because Lisa's in here today. She's normally in kids' church, but She's developing a great team, and today one of her team members are leading, and so she gets to be in here. I told her, I'm like, I'm gonna have to be on good behavior. I went back through my notes. I checked my stories, made sure, you know, because sometimes y'all tattle on me when she's not in here. I hear about it at lunch, but the other day, I wanted to promote, you know, love in my marriage, and so I sent Lisa a text message, and I said I was just having fun, but I said I went back and I wrote it down. I said, "My fair maiden, prepare thyself. Your knight is on his way." And as soon as I sent it, I was just like, what in the world, you dummy, right? And then, you know how like you send a message and you wait, and I'm thinking like, what is she gonna say? You know, like you know. And then she responded, and I don't know if you call these GIFs or GIFs. How many of you call it a GIF? Okay, how many of you call it a GIF? How many have no idea what I'm talking about? All right, so I'll show you. It's like I don't even know how to describe it. I'll just show you. She responded with this gift GIF. All right. Isn't that awesome? And in that moment, I'm like, my wife is the coolest. Holy cow, she's awesome. And so then I had to respond, right? So I responded with this gift GIF. Are you seeing this? I'm trying to promote something right here, right? I'm not just gonna walk in like I'm winking at her through the text message. I'm like, hey, baby, I love you. I'm your knight. I'm coming, right? Like that's what's happening here. And it happened to be Balloon Festival when this was going on. And right at this moment, I saw a balloon in the sky, and I took a picture of the balloon. I'll show you that picture. Did I send you that picture? All right, check this one out. And I said, I'm on my way on my trusty steed. Oh, I'm glad y'all are laughing. Listen. God is looking for people with a particular posture because the right posture promotes his presence in our lives, right? I'll try to explain it like this. You might have noticed during worship earlier, there if you looked around, you know, there were quite a few people who had their hands raised during worship. Now, some of you, let me just see your hands. How many of you grew up in a church or you've been a part of a church in your life where that was raising your hands was a part of worship? Will you show me your hands? Okay. And then how many of you, you'd say, that's kind of weird and that's not been my experience. Is anyone like that? Okay, just so now I know you can raise your hands. That's good for me to know. I tricked you. And so maybe you come into a church and you're like, why are they doing that? Here's the easiest way to explain it. Because posture promotes presence. Because we come in and we're worshiping, right? And we're in that place where we want the presence of God to come close to us. We want to feel, right, Him. We want to know His power. We want to be close to Him. We want to hear His voice. And one of the things, this is just one of the things we can do in worship to promote the presence of God is a lifting of hands. It's a sign of surrender. It's saying, God, I want you to come close to me. I'm listening for your voice. You could come in and you could worship and you could kneel, right? And it's a posture that promotes His presence. You can close your eyes and bow your head and get in a place where you're listening intently. But these are things that you can do to promote the presence of God because the right posture promotes His presence. I was thinking about posture this weekend, and I remembered I have some cousins. I haven't seen them in a long time, but they lived in Oklahoma when I was a kid, and we'd go to visit them like for the holidays. And this particular these two cousins of mine, their mom, like, posture was a really big deal to her. Okay, and I remember one Christmas I showed up, and both of my cousins, they're both bigger than me, like by taller and wide. They're just like stout men. And I walked in and I saw one of my cousins and I'm like, "What's that in your shirt?" And he turns around and he literally had a hanger in his shirt. So if you can imagine, you know, it kind of come across the back and the hanger part would be up across the, and I'm like, "What? Like, did you just forget to take the hanger off? Like, I'm kind of confused." He's like, "Oh, my mom makes us walk around all day with hangers in our shirts." I'm like, "Why? So weird." And it's like, because if I slouch, right, it's uncomfortable. It kind of pokes me in the neck, and it's so literally, it was so weird, y'all. We're like playing games and walking around, and they just had hangers in their shirts, and they keep putting their, you know, they're putting their shoulders back and trying to like find a comfortable spot, you know. And I'm like, "Y'all are weird in Oklahoma. I don't know about this." My family's from Oklahoma. I can say that, right? Posture was a really big deal to my Aunt Lori, and I think posture is a really big deal to God. Now, he's not going to put a hanger in your shirt today, okay? You can be relieved of that. So what posture promotes the presence of God? Well, for one, God's looking for people with a posture of humility. The posture of humility will promote the presence of God in your life. Look at Moses again. Look what happens as he humbles himself. Verse 7, the Lord said, so we haven't got to this part yet, so here's some new verses. The Lord said, remember he took his shoes off, right? He hid his face, he humbled himself. And God said, you're on holy ground. And now God's talking to him. The Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned with their suffering." Now, for this to make sense, you need to know the backstory, because what's happening here is really, really powerful, really powerful. Moses had not been in Egypt for a really long time, but he used to live there. And if you might remember this, when he was there, he saw one of the Egyptian slave masters who was abusing an Israelite. He was abusing God's people, right? And he saw that happening. And Moses, I'll talk to you in a minute more about this, but he took action in his own strength, and that forced him. He had to flee for his life. He had to run away, right? Because he murdered this Egyptian. And then Moses ends up in the wilderness. That's where he meets Jethro. He ends up marrying Jethro's daughter, which, by the way, there's an underlying message here that God does work all things for the good of his people. Isn't that pretty cool? And if you're here today and you're single, if you feel like you're in the desert, you should just get ready, okay? Because God might be working something out so you can meet your spouse. I don't know. But even though Moses hasn't been there all of these years, he had to flee, right? He was concerned about God's people, but he had to run, even though he hasn't been there. Here's what God's saying to Moses in this moment as Moses humbles himself. God says, "Moses, I see the people. I have heard their cries." Let me say it this way. There is not a cry on earth that God does not hear. There's not a cry on earth that God doesn't hear. I'll just give you kind of a rhetorical question that I've been pondering this last probably 2 weeks. I've been wondering, what cries does God hear as he tunes his ear towards Albuquerque? What cries does he hear from the homes and the schools and the workplaces and the parks and the restaurants as people are having conversations and they're venting their frustrations and they're looking around and they're feeling things. What cries does God hear? Because here's what I know. Here's what this story's showing us. As God humbled him, as Moses humbled himself, God first told Moses, "I see my people and I hear their cry." And then God answers that cry through humanity. Moses was always God's plan A for his people in this season, in this moment. Moses was always his plan. And Harvest, I just want to say to you today, you are God's plan A for the west side of Albuquerque. Do you believe that? You need to see this today. You are God's plan A, which I just have to tell you, this is why every week we've been saying, hey, you should be a part of Trunk or Treat. You should come. You should serve. You should be a part. Listen, I'm just telling you, like, you are God's plan A for the west side of Albuquerque. And if you're wondering, like, well, I don't get this, and I don't want to dress up, and I don't want to do a trunk, and I don't blah, blah, whatever. I don't know what your excuse happens to be this morning. Let me just help you today. Okay, it's not enough for a church, for our church or any church, to just open our doors on Sunday and say, hey, y'all, come on in, right? We have coffee. We have kids' church. We have a pastor who runs around on stage. Whatever, I don't know, right? Like that's not enough, people. It's not enough to just open our doors and hope that our community just wakes up on a Sunday morning, right, and goes, I think I'll go to church today. It's not enough. In fact, there's this thing in the scripture called the Great Commission, in which Jesus said to you and I, to his disciples, he said, go into all the world and make disciples. And listen, this is like the very first baby step of going, because all we're doing is going from inside the building to outside the building. But let me just tell you, it is a first step. What we're doing is we're putting ourselves out in the community and we're saying, hey guys, we're here and we love you and we have something to offer and we have hope and we have joy and we have peace and we can tell you about Jesus and he'll help you. Are you catching this? You don't seem nearly as excited as I do today. But I'm just telling you, the reason it's so important is because as God hears the cries of the west side of Albuquerque, he says, you know what? I have a plan, and it's my people, and some of those people are the people that are a part of Harvest, and I'm so excited because they're paying attention, and they're seeing, listen, as you're going around the city, you're seeing some of the same stuff. You're hearing the same cries. You're aware of the same problems. And what we're doing as a church is we're saying, we're not just going to stay inside of our building and hope that it gets better. We're going to go outside and we're going to do something about it, because posture promotes presence. And the prayer over this event is that people will come that are unaware of the presence of God. And as they step foot onto our parking lot, because I know this is just a building and it's just a place and it's just asphalt and it's just all that stuff, but this is a place where God has said, this is where I'm going to meet my people. And people are going to come, and they're going to go, I don't know what this is, but I like it. I don't know what I'm sensing. I don't know what I'm feeling. I need to know more. Like, I'm just telling you, like, that's why we're giving away a lot of candy, right? The candy's just, it's like bait, right? We're just fishing, right? That's why we're just getting out there, giving away hot chocolate, and we're bringing in food trucks, and you're going to dress up, and we're just having fun in hopes that people will come, not just so they'll come, but so that they'll encounter the presence of God. That's the best I can do on that. Verse 8 and 9. So I have come down to rescue them. Remember, God's telling Moses, I've seen the people. I've heard their cries. This is such good news. He says, so I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. The home, all these ites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, the Parasites, I don't know, all the ites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, God says, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. Now, if you're Moses, here's what I think. Okay, Moses is like, oh, finally. I've been telling you about this for a while, God. I wasn't sure if you were listening. I wasn't sure if you were paying attention, right? Okay, I see. I've been wondering about this. Moses is getting some questions answered. And then God says, so now, here's my answer. You go, Moses. What? Right? He's like, I thought you had a better plan than this, right? And God says, so now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses says to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh to bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Listen, God's answer in this story is to send a person of faith. God's answer today in your story and my story and our city's story and our world story is still to send a person of faith. I hope you know this. You are not here. Whatever your here is, here at Harvest, here in Albuquerque, here at your job, here in your school, here in your family, like you are not here by accident. You have been sent. You're a person of faith, and God looked at the city, and he looked at your family, and he looked at your school, and he looked at your job, and he said, I need to send a missionary there. I need to send someone there who can bring the hope that I have, because his hope comes through us. And maybe today you're like Moses and you don't feel qualified. Moses immediately, he's like, who am I? Why me? I'm not the guy. I can't talk. I don't have this. He has all these, the same excuses that you and I have today. Which, by the way, this is why next Sunday we're doing this training for Trunk or Treat that Pastor Tyler talked about. Because here's the deal. We can't qualify you. That's God's job. The good news is he's already done that, okay? What we're saying is your church, is your leadership, we're saying we can't qualify you, but we can train you. We can give you some tools. We can teach you how to have these conversations. We can help you with having awkward conversations without them being awkward because we're not the ones who qualify you. We just train you. But the good news is you're already qualified. Here's what we see God says to Moses. He says, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. So we've been looking at Moses' body language, right? But now we see God's body language, because now God says to Moses, hey, Moses, I will be with you. I don't know if you remember 2 weeks ago, I brought Pastor Jace up at the end and I read you a scripture out of Isaiah where he says, I'll be right behind you, the voice telling you where to go. And I had Jace up here and he was walking. I was right behind him saying, go this way, go that way. I'm going to tell you what to do and direct. If you remember that, if you weren't here, you can go back and watch it. Right? That's the idea here is that God is with you. He's directing you. He's protecting you. He's guiding you. He's watching out for you. When Lisa and I, we spent a bunch of years pastoring in Dallas, in a part of downtown Dallas called Deep Ellum, and I was just thinking about this because one of the things I did to try to just ingrain into the community is I found a little neighborhood park, and I would go to that park every week on the same day at the same time, and I'd show up with a basketball, and I would just go to shoot basketball, right? And slowly, one or two guys from the neighborhood showed up, and three or four, and five or six, and eventually we had enough guys that every, I think it was Thursday nights, every Thursday night, we were just playing ball. We'd split up on teams and we'd play basketball. And I'll just say it this way, okay? I was by far the palest guy in the park, okay? I did not fit the demographic. Like, you saw me and you're like, he's not from this neighborhood, right? And so it was kind of scary, if I'm real honest with you. The very first guy to show up, I never forget it. He walks up and he's like, can I play ball? I said, yeah, man, come on. He takes his hat off. He takes a bag of bullets out of his pocket. He puts them in his hat. He sets them down and goes, let's play. The rest of the night, I'm like, where's the gun for the bullets? He's like, oh, man, my bad. I fouled you. It's good. No, we're good. I was just like a wide berth. Like, you're just, the easy layups. Like, no, it's good. It's all good, There's not a chance in the world I was going to try to beat him that night. The next week, bullet guy brought his friend, okay? And then that's how it grew, right? And I was reflecting on this. I'm thinking about this promise God said to Moses, I'll be with you. So here's what happened is we'd been playing ball for several months and we got to know each other. And one week, one of the guys goes, hey, I know a big park over here that has like 10 courts. And every Thursday night, like we play, there's a bunch of people that go play over there. Because I got an idea. Why don't we load up one week and we'll go over there. And instead of playing against one another, we'll be a team and we'll play some of the guys there. I'm like, that sounds like a great idea. Like, I have a car, and this guy's... So we planned it. We all got together. We loaded up. We went to the park. Sure enough, tons of courts. I mean, just so many people. Basketball happening everywhere. And y'all, I felt like... I mean, I felt awesome because I had all these brothers with me, and I knew how good they were. And I'm like, I am on the right team. I mean, I wasn't that good, but I was like, I'm on the right team. And I'm like walking in like some swagger, like, hey, y'all want to play some ball? Me and my boys here, we got next. So here's what happened. We start playing this team, and we were beating them. And by we, I mean my teammates were beating them, and I was running around. And they weren't happy about it because we were the visiting team, right? They didn't like that. And so I'm going back across. We had just scored, and I'm going back across, and one of their guys just kind of like bumps into me, but it was on purpose, right? Like hard. Like he bumps into me. And I don't know if you ever seen people do this. He wanted to pick a fight. So he bumps into me, and I'm just like, yeah, it's cool. And he goes, what? What? What, you want to fight? And like that, all 10 courts stop. And everyone's looking at us now, the whole park. I mean, it was nuts. I felt like I was in a movie. I mean, it was like, what's about to happen? Have I paid my life insurance? Is Lisa going to be okay? I mean, bam. It was so fast. And I didn't want to fight, y'all. I didn't want to fight. And the guy's like, come on, man. He's just egging me on. I'm like, no, dude, it's good. Let's just play basketball. It's good. I'm sorry, man. It's good. And then all of a sudden, it switched. And the same guy who's like coming at me, he just starts backing off. He's like, no, it's good, man. And I'm thinking, did he see me flex my muscle? Like, I must have just, bam, like bicep, bull. He's like, I don't mess with that white guy, right? That's not what happened. What happened is that my team, I didn't even know this, my team got behind me. They were flexing their muscles. Right? They didn't say a word, y'all. Not one word was ever. I didn't even know they were there like ninjas. They just got behind me. Here's the posture. They were behind me. They didn't say it. But what they said was, you pick on white boy, you pick on us. That's what they said. They just showed up. They just were behind me. Ain't nobody messing with me in that park. I mean, are you seeing this? Can I just tell you today, God's behind you this morning like this. Oh yeah? Right? I wore a hoodie today because I didn't want to scare y'all, okay? Lisa just rolled her eyes. Posture promotes presence. God said to Moses, and I believe God's saying to you today, I will be with you. I will be right behind you. I will protect you. I will guide you. I'll watch over you. I'll give you things to write in your journal. I'm going to talk to you because God's presence makes all the difference. I was looking at Moses this week. There's a big difference in pre-burning bush Moses and post-burning bush Moses. This is where we're going to close today. Pre-burning bush Moses, he's young and angry and frustrated, right? I mean, think about it. He's born as an Israelite in a time where Egypt had a law that all the babies had to be thrown into the Nile River, right? The Egyptians were scared that the Israelite slaves were having so many babies that they were going to overtake them. And so they decided that the answer was to kill them. So they made this rule, all the babies thrown into the river. And just pay attention to this, because I really believe there was a moment here where the Holy Spirit, he showed me something. I want you to see it today. Because Moses' mother did not buy into this, okay? There's this rule. She has a baby. She's supposed to put him in the river. She didn't buy into this. But watch this. She obeyed the letter of the law, but she allowed the Holy Spirit to give her a creative workaround. So she built a basket first, right, to put him in the river. Are you watching this? In other words, she's like, okay, I'll put him in the river. But as she prayed about it, the Holy Spirit gave her creativity. She said, I'm going to put him in this basket, and I'm gonna put him in the river. You need to hear this today. This is what our world needs from the church today. The world needs a church who will listen with one ear to what's going on in our world, in our culture, in our politics, in all the things in our government. But with the other ear, we're coming near to God and we're listening for the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to know how to live in this world. Because I'm just telling y'all, it's not going to get any easier. It's only going to get harder. And we need the creativity of the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And this isn't political. But listen, our government is currently at work. They're playing with laws they're trying to figure out what can we do and how can we do this. And I'm just telling you, at the end of this story, the church, we've got to have some answers, because I'm just telling you, it's not going to get easier to worship. It's going to get harder to worship as we get closer and closer to the end. And what the world needs is a church who will pray and listen and hear the Holy Spirit and know how to respond, not just as angry people, but as God-fearing, Spirit-filled, Spirit-led people. We need the wisdom of God. So here goes Moses floating down the river, right? He's floating down the river. Mama made him a basket. He's floating down, and it just so happens, or maybe I'll say it like this, it was God's will that Pharaoh's daughter is bathing in the river. She says, what's that basket? Give me that basket. They check the basket. Cute little baby boy. She goes, oh my goodness, I'm going to take him home. Right? It's like a little puppy or something. Like, oh, I'm going to take him home with me, right? It's a beautiful story. Think about this, of a baby that's born into slavery is now adopted into a royal family. That's our story, right? Born into slavery of sin, adopted by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Listen, don't miss what God is up to, y'all. Don't miss what God is up to. Moses grows up in the Egyptian schools and the Egyptian culture. He has all the privileges of living in the king's house. But deep down, he knows, I don't fit here. I'm not an Egyptian. Like, this is not who I am. And that created a frustration in Moses. He's frustrated. He's like, I got to do something for my people. And it comes to a head in Exodus 2. He sees the Egyptian beating one of his own people. And watch this. He can't take it anymore. Have you ever felt that way? You just look at the culture and the world and the schools and the politics. And you just go, I can't take it anymore. That's where Moses is. I can't take it. He takes it into his own hands, into his own strength, and he murders the Egyptian. He lost control. And I just want you to see this. He could have easily convinced himself that he answered the call of God. I protected one of God's people. I saw the abuse going on in the world, and I stepped in, and I took care of it. It would have been really easy for him to just say, I did the right thing. But the reality is he lost it. He took control in his own hands. And the next day he sees two Israelites that are fighting, and he goes to them to stop them. And they turn like, are you going to kill us too? And he knows he's found out. And that's where the story we picked up earlier, he runs for his life. He ends up in the wilderness. He meets Jethro. He finds Jethro's daughter. And all that's pre-burning bush Moses, okay? He's young, angry, frustrated, takes things into his own control. And now, because God's presence changes everything, post-burning bush Moses, he encounters God, and God calls him, and God qualifies him, and God equips him. And we saw this in the body language. Moses humbles himself. And now Moses is, these stories are a long ways apart. Moses is much older. He's not physically as strong as young Moses who murdered the Egyptian, right? That's when he took it in his hand. Now he's much older, he's much wiser, he's humble, he's submitted, but now he has God's power. Let me just say this to you today. God doesn't want to use your strength, he wants to use his strength through you. That's what we see in this story. Young Moses was like, I'm going to do my own, and Now at the end of his life, he's figuring it out. He's like, God just wanted to work through him. And watch this. This is so incredible. In his own strength, Moses freed one slave. Right? In his own strength. He saw one slave. He did something. He freed one slave. Keep reading the story of Moses. Moses goes to Pharaoh, right? Let my people go, right? Pharaoh's like, I'm not going to do that. He says, God says, fine, I'm going to send 10 plagues. Pharaoh changes his mind. The people get to leave, right? Then Pharaoh changes his mind again. And now the Israelites are between the Red Sea and the army of Pharaoh. And God shows off again. And he splits the sea and they walk across on dry ground and they turn around just in time to see the sea collapse and to kill all of the army that was chasing them. So watch this. In his own strength, Moses freed one slave. God's strength through Moses, the estimates are that 3 million slaves were freed in that moment. I'll let you choose. Do you want to be the man or the woman who operates in your own strength and you help one person? Or do you want to be the man or the woman who operates through the strength of God, in daily communion with God, operating with the presence of God, and you help an entire community, entire city, an entire state, an entire world? Like, you are God's plan A. God's presence makes all the difference. Do you believe that? Makes all the difference. Why don't you stand with me this morning? We're just going to spend this final few minutes, 5-6 minutes, we're just going to spend a few minutes and we're going to worship. We're going to worship. And would you pay special attention as we worship to your posture? Like, I don't know what you need to do. I don't know if you need to lift your hands or bow your head or kneel at your seat or come to the front. Or, I mean, there's a lot of expressions. There's a lot of postures. But would you just pay special attention to your posture this morning? Because your posture in these final few minutes has the ability to promote the presence of God in your life. And I don't know what you're facing today, okay? Well, I've talked a lot today about corporately and what I believe God's doing through us and our community. But let me make it really, really personal right now. I don't know what's happening in your life today, but whatever's happening in your life, the presence of God can change everything. And your posture in this moment, it will either allow the presence of God to come close or it'll continue to create that separation that we saw in Adam and Eve. And if you'll come close to him, this is his promise, he'll come close to you. And I believe that as this happens, that his presence will bring exactly what you need in your life, in this moment, in your situation. I believe he'll change everything. So let's worship for these final moments. You ready? All right, worship team, let's do it. Take us there.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Fellowship podcast. For more information, visit harvestabq.org.